Many of you have a sheet of paper. Some of you may not have picked one up. On one side, we have Psalm 8. Could you read that along with me? This is for the director of music, according to, what is that word? Giddith? A Psalm of David. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds, and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the sea. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Amen. The gospel lesson for today is on the other side. This is the modern English version. It's a little bit different. Actually, I want to talk before we read this one. I have a sister-in-law that is about 12, 14 years younger than Carol was, is, whatever. And she and her husband have two children. Actually, they had two children, but then they adopted another one as a teenager. And I don't mean this as against them, but they didn't have much of a church life. When Carol was young, their parents made sure they went to Sunday school, but they really were not involved in the life of the church that much. And so my sister-in-law didn't have that church background that many of you have. And yet, her husband takes the Bible every year and reads what we call the Nativity, you know, that part of the scripture from Matthew and Luke. He reads that every year at Christmas Eve. The family gathers together. They did when the children were young, and they still. I understood that he read it again this year. You know, those children have children. And those children are getting older too, but it's important to them that they have that tradition. And I say all that because even though they don't have a church, much of a church affiliation, most of them, that scripture is very important to them. And the scripture that we generally talk about, we generally read and think about and talk about on Christmas is important to all of us. We can say it's important to us, but I'm saying it's important to the world around us. And that's no small thing. And I think we need to realize that. I understand that you did have a Christmas Eve worship service, and you know, it was so attended, you know, because of the weather. If it had been better weather, I'm sure it would have been better attended. But you had that, and you probably had some of this scripture that we're going to read next in that service. And yet, for some reason, God led me to share this scripture once again. And I just need to share with you what I feel from God, that I feel that I just need to share it with you. So, reading the scripture, this is the modern English version. When the angels went away from them, the angels, you know, the shepherds were gathered out in the field taking care of the sheep. It was night, so that some of them were taking care of the sheep, some of them were resting around, in my mind, they were resting around the campfire. And all of a sudden, an angel came and talked with him and said, "Glory, hallelujah." This is not what he said, but in my head, that's the way it goes. "Glory, hallelujah, unto you today, a child has been born. This child is going to save all of his people from their sins." And then after that angel got done talking with them, he left, sort of. But then the whole multitude, the sky just lit up with angels, singing glory to God. I can't even begin to picture that in my mind, that glory that must have been. And they faded away, and the shepherds said to themselves, let's go see this child. So, that's where we are. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let us now go to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. So they came, hurrying, and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they made widely known the word which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at what the shepherds told them. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it had been told them. When 8 days had passed and the child was circumcised, he was named Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Almighty God, we give you thanks, Lord, for your word. These words are special to us. The words preceding that are very special to us. They're about the birth of Jesus, our Lord. It continues to astound us, Lord, amaze us, astound us. You chose to come to earth as a human being, as a baby, born in a stable, laid in a manger. It continues to astound us, Lord, that you sent your angels to talk with the shepherds, to talk with other people. The story is just an awesome story of how you love us so dearly that you came and lived a human life so that we might know that you know our lives. It is in Christ that we pray. Amen. As you noticed, I underlined that one sentence that Mary pondered those things in her heart. I don't know how you did Advent, but I'd like to go through Advent talking about the different people within that whole scene, that nativity scene. There's a better word for it than nativity, but that's the word I seem to be caught on. This year, I was at a couple of the churches, and we talked about angel coming to Zechariah. Zechariah was an older man. I said that I think he was probably older than I am. I don't know how old he was. He and Elizabeth were older. We know that. It says that in the scripture. They had no children. They wanted children. They prayed and they prayed and they prayed for children, but they didn't have any children. Came upon one time in his life, quite probably, that he was chosen to go into the holy place to light the incense. The priest, yes, priest, Zechariah, not, yes, Zechariah was chosen to go in. And he lit the incense, and he prayed. The priest would pray during the lighting of the incense. And the theory is as that aroma of the incense wafted up, it would carry the prayers up to God. And as he was lighting the incense, an angel, Gabriel, came to him, appeared to him. And he said, peace be with you, Zechariah. You and Elizabeth are going to have a child. And then he went on to say, you know, that child is going to be great. He's going to be the forerunner of the Savior, the promised Messiah. You know, but all that Zechariah heard was, you and Elizabeth are going to have a child. And then his ears plugged up because he couldn't understand. And that's what he said to Gabriel, the angel. There's no way that we're going to have a child. We're old. They'd given up. And Gabriel, the angel, didn't like him refuting him like that. And he said, you're not going to be able to talk until you name him John. That's significant. John. Okay, flash ahead a few months. Angel Gabriel, the same angel, came to Mary. Mary was a young, we believe, probably a teenager. That's pretty young. A virgin. And Gabriel said to Mary, they had that greeting. That's when an angel appears, the person gets kind of scared and nervous, Gabriel calmed her down and said, you are blessed. You are called by God, the Almighty God, to bear a son who will be the Messiah. And Mary heard, you're going to have a child. And she says, I'm a virgin. I'm not going to have a child. I don't know a man. Yes, she was engaged to Joseph, but they were not married. But Gabriel was a little more patient with Mary. And after a while, they talked about this. And Mary said, let it be so. I am the Lord's handmaiden. I will do what you say. That is surrendering for her. That's a huge thing. I don't want us to take that for granted, because that was something that Mary really did. Important. She was a teenager. Keep that in mind. And so, the Lord God, the Holy Spirit, came upon Mary. She became pregnant. I want to believe, it does not tell us this, but I want to believe that Mary went to Joseph, who she was engaged to, and explained, this is what happened, Joseph. Joseph couldn't agree, couldn't understand it, but he was still a very honorable man. And he was going to, does tell us this, he was going to put Mary aside, divorce her, so to speak, before they were married, quietly. Actually, he could have taken it out in public, and he could have had her stoned to death. It was that serious an offense. And he was just going to do it quietly because he cared about Mary. I think he loved Mary. And he went to sleep. And he had this vision, and the angel, not necessarily Gabriel, but an angel spoke to him and said that what Mary said to you, Joseph, is true. And please take this son, didn't say please, take this son as yours, give him the name Jesus or Emmanuel, God with us. And so he did. I think he probably got up the next morning and went to Mary, and he claimed her as his wife as soon as they could. And he claimed that unborn child as the one that he would raise. I think he chose at that moment to love Jesus as his own. He did. I believe he really did that. So, Mary was pregnant. She went off to see her relative, Elizabeth, Zechariah's wife. They greeted each other when Mary got there, and the baby inside of Elizabeth's womb jumped. And so Elizabeth understood in that second that Mary was pregnant with the future Messiah. It says that in Scripture. All of this was part of what Mary understood. Mary took this all in, and she thought about it. She pondered on it. She weighed it. She really, really considered it. And that's what it says. And that's what we do. That's what we do at this time of year. We do it at Christmas time. Leading up to Christmas, we think about our loved ones. What are we going to get for them for Christmas? What are we going to do? When are we going to get together? What are we going to have to eat? All these things that we think about, we ponder, we keep them in our heart. I think you ladies do it maybe a little more than most men, but we do it. We do. Men and women both do that. We hold it to our heart. This is a dear, dear, important time of year. Christmas. Also, this is the first day of the new year. Happy New Year. I should have said that earlier. This is also a time when we think about what are we going to do that's a little different than what we did last year. It's something that we take time to think about. One of our sons and his wife and one of their daughters came to my house on Friday to celebrate Christmas. And I got a gift. And it's a book. And I opened the book and it's stuff for me to do. I wasn't too happy about it. I said, this is homework. It's blank pages that I'm supposed to write in. And then on the top there's certain questions like, you know, what was your father's name? When was he born? You know, a little bit about your father, a little bit about your mother, and then grandfather and grandmother. I got to look those things up. I don't have them in my mind, so this has worked for me. And this granddaughter of mine had written in it, yes, this is some homework, but I want to know. They want to know these things. These are dear to us. We ponder them in our hearts. Mary was very human. And Mary shared all of this, almost all of this, that we read about in the Nativity, especially with the scripture we have this morning. That came from Mary. It came from Mary sharing it with somebody. Luke and Matthew especially have the nativity, that scene. They weren't there, but Mary was. And so we know that it came from her. Actually, there is a, my understanding is there is a book called the Gospel. It's not in our Bibles. It's extra. And it is called the Infancy Gospel that Mary shares a whole lot more. I don't have that, but I know that it is available in print. This is, Mary is very important. I'm not elevating her to the saint place, but she's very important to us because we can look at this and say, ah, she pondered those in her heart. And you know what? I ponder those things in my heart too. Maybe not exactly the same things, but they're important to me. That's what I did this morning with you. I shared with you some of the things that are important to me. We do that. We do that. And our God, who creates us, He urges us to do that. I'm convinced of that. He urges us to look within. He's there. He's in our hearts, in our minds. You're here, Sunday after Sunday. You hold God's Word as so important. Please, please consider that. Because there are a whole lot of people out there in the world that we know, our friends and neighbors, they don't consider that. But we do. And we are making a difference in the world that we are living in. We are making a difference. I can't say that strong enough. What you do on a day-to-day basis makes a huge difference. Please. Hear that. Almighty God, Mary pondered those things in her heart. You, O Lord, are the one who creates us. You are the one who gives us those experiences. You are the one who gives us your word. You are the one that urges us to take time to think and to pray, to be in connection with you as much as we can. You know us. Yes, you have created us. And yes, you have walked with us. You know us inside and out. And we thank you, Lord, that you love us right where we are and invite us to grow in that love. And part of growing is to look inside. So thank you, Lord, for urging us, blessing us. It is in Christ that we pray. And all God's people say,